All right, everybody. Part two of Davin's Den, part Dewey, as the kids used to say. That was some good music on the break, right? Some good rocking tunes.
Yeah, really.
That was fun. I enjoyed
yeah,
that.
Good voice.
So that.
I saw that guy singing the second song.
What did you say? You liked the second song?
Yeah, the good voice.
That was a Superfecta with Mannequin. But,
wow.
Yeah, good stuff tonight on the old tunage. All right, let's do some, we haven't done this in a while, because, quite frankly, there hasn't been a lot of school to report on. I guarantee if there was, we'd have a lot more School of Fools.
Yeah.
All right, where the fuck is it? Here we go.
I saw Junior made himself a sign, that's nice.
Ring around the rosy, bucket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
All right, a Harvard professor says nay, nay to homeschooling. Of course, everybody's homeschooling right now. So, Elizabeth Berthelet told Harvard Magazine that homeschooling gives parents authoritarian control over their kids. Line up in goose step, motherfuckers. Do what mommy wants and can even expose them to white supremacy and misogyny. So, the issue is, do we think that parents should have 24/7 essentially authoritarian control over their children from ages 0 to 18? 18? Nay, nay, you're not getting out that quickly. I think that's dangerous, Berthelet said. I think it's dangerous to put powerful people in charge of the powerless and to give the powerful ones total authority. Berthelet's comments were met with backlash from homeschooling parents who said she unfairly stereotyped the practice. Writing in Forbes, education policy analyst Mike McShane said Berthelet relied on lazy stereotypes. Is there any other type of stereotype that's not lazy? Have you really done a lot of research and come out with a well-thought-out stereotype? I don't think so. I think the whole point is...
Really.
No, the whole point of stereotypes is I'm grouping all these people together because it's much fucking easier. Polish people are stupid. Jews are cheap. Irish people are drunk. Black people get to become president. Shit like that.
Right. I'm waiting for you to hit on what I don't know.
You know them all because you're lazy.
Yes.
Banning homeschooling would thrust thousands of children. Nay, nay. Save that for the Mothers and Fathers Day show. We will not be thrusting thousands of children before then.
No, we will not be thrusting in their general direction at all.
No. With thousands of children who left traditional schools to avoid maltreatment back into the very schools where they were victimized. Roughly 4% of American children are now educated outside of the public or private school system, a higher percentage than both parochial and charter schools, according to the article. The author of the piece, Erin O'Donnell, asserted that 90% of homeschool parents are conservative Christians, according to surveys. Berthelet asserted that some of them are extreme religious ideologues who question science and promote female subservience and white supremacy. Go on. But McDonald said homeschoolers are now coming from all corners and becoming increasingly diverse both ideologically and demographically. She noted a marked increase in black, Hispanic, urban, and secular homeschoolers as evidence. Berthelet also cautioned that there is minimal oversight for homeschooling and that parents are able to tailor coursework as they please. We have an essentially unregulated regime in the area of homeschooling. The professor noted that only a handful of states require that parents who homeschool attain a certain level of education themselves. That means effectively people that can homeschool who've never gone to school themselves, who don't read or write themselves. Writing in the educational journal Education Next, Naomi Schaefer Riley called Berthelet's notion that homeschooling leaves kids subject to neglect and potentially ignorant or civics absurd. Ignorant of civics absurd. Well, no, they go to public school. They're ignorant of civics. Or private school, too, for that matter. School in general. Those claims, she said, are undercut not only by how badly many of our public schools educate students, but also by students suggesting kids at Catholic schools, for instance, have greater knowledge of civics and levels of civic participation upon graduation. Having children taught at home can weaken checks on abuse and neglect, Berthelet said. School staff are considered mandated reporters and are legally obligated to alert officials suspected mistreatment of students. Without that protection, the professor said, cases of juvenile abuse can go undetected. McDonald countered that many parents pull their students out of school for the abuse they face within them, including bullying and violence. Banning the practice would impact parents fleeing a system of education that they find harmful to their children. A lot of interesting points here. I don't think you should ban homeschooling, you know, but I think Bartholet does raise some interesting points. I think there should be some type of curriculum, you know, that the state approves, something to go along with what everybody else in the state is learning.
Right.
I think that, I don't think it's absurd to have welfare checks, you know, because you would have that at school. It's a good way to see if abuse is going on in the home.
Right.
But I think she's a little rough when she says they're, you know, 90% of them are, what are they, ideologues and subservient. That's a little much. And they are your kids. I mean, you should have some influence over what they learn.
And the one thing that which is interesting that she notes, she says, Bartholet told Harvard Magazine, it gives authoritarian control over the kids and can even expose them to white supremacy and misogyny. But then she noted there's a marked increase in black, Hispanic, urban...
No, that wasn't her. That wasn't her. Was it? No, I don't think that was her. Maybe you're right.
Oh, yeah. There were two different people.
I'm sorry, that was Erin McDonald.
McShane.
Noted that.
Yeah, okay, you're whatever.
Conservative Christians. But the fact remains that there is, regardless who said it, the notation was made is that there is an increase of black, Hispanic, and urban and secular homeschoolers as evidence on that.
Listen, I don't, but here's what I think you really miss with homeschooling. I would not homeschool my child unless they were getting bullied. But, I mean, it is a good way to pull kids out of being bullied, but there is, I mean, a big part of school is a social interaction. A big part of college, for instance, was not learning philosophy, but it was living away and learning about people from all different areas. I mean, school, yeah. Even, you know, school is about interacting with other people who are not like you.
Yeah, and I agree with you because I know a person that has pulled their son out of school and homeschooled them because the child was being bullied. But with that being said, with the whole homeschooling thing, does the school district give you a criteria or guidelines?
Well, that's what's being argued here. That's what Bartholet's being argued here, that they don't give you a guideline. And the only defense of that was, yeah, well, public schools suck too. That's not really a defense.
No, it's not. It's not necessarily the truth, though, because there are parents are supposed to hand in a curriculum to the school board.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's not the Wild West with homeschooling. They do have to show the school board that they are teaching them something, you know. I don't know how much, you know, standardization there is between what's going on in the school versus what's going on in the school board curriculum. I don't know how much influence the school board has over what the parents are actually teaching the kids. But they do have to hand in plans to show that something is happening. It's not just get out there, do your chores, you know, because you'd have, you know, a rising illiteracy rate, and
but,
you can't have that.
Well, here's another issue, though, that was brought up. I mean, you know, if these teachers, yeah, I mean, if these parents can't read or write or, you know, don't have a high school education or a GED, I mean, really, I mean, I don't really think they should be passing on their lack of book learning to another generation.
Exactly. I think that it's a little bit dangerous to have, go ahead, Joe.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I hope I didn't cut you off. No,
it's okay.
But we're on the same plane with this. You would want, you know, if you're homeschooling, you would want some expertise in the subject, somebody that knows the, you know, the curriculum. If you want to homeschool your kid because you feel that your kid, you really don't want, you know, you want to learn your way and stuff like that, and you don't have the expertise, you're absolutely wrong. If there is where the child is having a problem at school and it's better for them to be home, and the school is assisting on that, and you're following a curriculum by them, or maybe there is some online and then homework, yeah, I would agree with that. But just for the fact that, you know, oh, I'm going to teach them my way, and you don't have the you don't have the background to do it, I think it's foolhardy.
Yeah.
All right, so we all agree, don't ban homeschooling, but there are some good issues here. To quote Pip, it should not be the Wild West. There should be some curriculum, perhaps there should be some wellness checks, and you should have a modicum of qualifications if you're going to be teaching your children.
Yeah, with the article, I feel the professor was heavy-handed even in some areas.
Yeah.
But in other areas, you know, there's enough to debate on and enough to feel that she would have a point on certain aspects. But I do feel, for the most part, she was a little bit heavy-handed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, McDonald was absolutely right to call her out on, you know, lazy stereotypes and just picturing, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there are cases where, you know, there are undereducated parents or parents who belong to, you know, some extreme group, and they are teaching kids things that mainstream America would think are, you know, not the right thing to be teaching, you know, fellow citizens.
Right, and that's where I feel the professor is kind of correct on that. Percentage of it remains to be seen, but there is it is out there. I don't know what the percentage is, but, you know, it is out there. I just feel the way that she presented it was very, you know, like it's a majority and any small group of people, that's what they're teaching. But it is out there. It's enough to bring up, but I think she could have sugarcoated it a little bit, especially for a professor.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, there are completely legitimate reasons, like bullying, like having different religious beliefs or things, reasons why you wouldn't, you know, want your kids to be in a school, particularly if the school system isn't really following through with anti-bullying. I mean, you know, there were bullied kids, us growing up during our day. Sometimes it was like Lord of the Flies in the classroom if they decided that one kid was on the outs. It was ridiculous,
yeah.
But, I mean, some of that has gotten better, but it's not entirely true. And there are legitimate and sound reasons for homeschooling, but there has to be oversight.
All right, so we're all on the same page on that.
Like I said, a friend of mine is actually homeschooling her son because the son was being continuously bullied. There was no way to handle it from being in school, so she pulled him out of school and she's homeschooling him.
All right, let's move on. Lots to cover tonight. Let's move on. Turbulent air.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
All right, we haven't done this in a while because we haven't been flying in a while. A little funny aside. So I was going back and forth today with Spirit Airlines. They gave me a refund because my flight got canceled and whatnot. But this was a first. So I'm going back and forth with the person email who I've never spoken to in support, and she goes because I had mentioned I was a comic and my industry's dead and I don't know if things are going to open up. She goes, "Yeah, I checked out, you know, this clip of you. It's very funny." I'm like, "Okay." I go, "Do you normally do background checks of your customers?"
Background check on their customers.
Yeah, I mean, she apparently Googled me. Oh, let's see if this motherfucker's really a comic. I just thought that was really funny. I'm like, you know, do you do that to a veterinarian? Yeah, I got a couple schnauzers that have not been pleased. I just thought that was weird. So I'm like, hey, you know what? We're doing this online comedy thing. Check it out. It's like really weird.
Why not plug the gig? Yeah, screw. Always time for a plug.
That's what I did. I just thought that was really weird. I mean, thank God she thought the shit was funny. It wasn't even a good tape of me because whatever. But you know, she thought it was funny. So I'm like, I'm not going to tell you now. That's not the best. But
yeah, right. I know, but that's very bizarre.
I thought so. All right.
Won't get me booked, but it did get me a refund.
Got me a refund. And that's better than some of my bookings. Okay. So a Miami man described another nightmarish flight aboard a packed American Airlines plane on which 80% of the passengers were not wearing masks after social distancing measures were violated even at the gate. Pedro Seuss, 49, said he arrived at Miami's airport for his flight to Mexico City in on April 16th and was initially pleased to see only a few people waiting at the area. But before...
Hold on, the guy's name was Pedro Seuss?
Yeah.
What is that, Spanish brother, the cat in the sombrero?
Hey, Seuss, you silly.
No, it's Seuss. Souss.
Wait, Souss?
That's Pedro's last name.
Oh, but, excuse me.
Stupid.
Oh, God.
And I believe it'd be Delgado in sombrero. Something like that.
The cat.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm workshopping this. It was a throwaway. way. Now we're going to work.
Well, because Pip interrupted with stupidity. She thought she was smarter than everybody else, and she wasn't. She's just an office slut. That's why. I'm helping you out, and you jump on me? Fuck you.
Excuse me, I prefer the village bicycle. Thank you.
I prefer the village idiot. I got two of them. Let's move on.
I almost spit coffee out of my fucking desk.
You know what? If I could have you stain your rugs the way you've stained mine over the years, I call that a win. All right. Move it. Pip, may I move on, or do you have any more erroneous critiques?
No, I think I'll keep them to myself for the moment.
I appreciate that. I look forward to 45 seconds when you go violate that rule.
It's like pulling a full metal jacket. Are you done, Pip Helix? You won't mind if I be the host for a while.
True.
I don't have to be here, kids. You can do this shit. I got other things I can be doing. I got a calendar to fill. It's a 2022 calendar, but a calendar nonetheless.
2022 if we're lucky.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently there was another flight scheduled to Mexico City leaving from another gate, and they decided to cancel that flight and cram everyone in one flight. Being from Mexico, I was used to cramming into a vehicle. No, I'm sorry. You didn't say that.
Damn.
The issue I see here, besides the obvious of putting people in risk, is that the American Airlines CEO is sending emails stating that they will enforce social distancing on their flights and follow CDC guidelines. But he didn't say he'd follow them well.
No.
I would say 80% of the passengers were not wearing masks or gloves. At the moment of boarding, people were all standing together, keeping no space between them. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention does not require passengers to wear masks. The telecommunications worker shared with the Post an email received from the airline that included a video of CEO Doug Parker. Aircraft cleanliness and social distancing matters greatly, Parker said in the five-minute clip. We have taken unprecedented steps to put additional safety parameters in place, which we promptly ignore. Our team is encouraging social distancing during the boarding process. Not only were passengers crammed on the airplane, only one lavatory was available because the crew used a second one that was marked as out of order, Seuss said. I reached out to the airline, and the response was they follow CDC cleaning guidelines and steer the communication to me away from the issue that I brought up to them, referring to social distancing. After going back and forth with them via email, they offered me 10,000 miles, and they said they offered to put put the situation behind us. They also said they did not think Pedro Seuss was his clip was very funny. Nothing. Okay, good. So Pedro tells him 10,000 miles doesn't even buy him a one-way ticket anywhere, so shove it up your airline's ass.
Yeah, really.
One of the emails he received from the airline stated, I'd like to extend a tangible I'm sorry and put this matter behind us. I bet you would. Seuss' complaint followed that of a Manhattan woman who flew on a packed American Airlines flight from Miami to LaGuardia, who said she was shocked about half the passengers did not wear masks. American Airlines said it monitors flights closely to maintain social distancing. But this past Monday, JetBlue became the first airline to announce that all passengers will have to wear face covering because you're hideous on flights. Starting May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Passengers will be required to wear a mask that covers their nose and mouth during the duration, and if an Islamic terrorist comes on, their eyes too. Duration of each flight. Also during check-in, boarding, and deplaning. We are also asking your customers to follow the CDC guidelines in the airport as well, said their chief operating officer, Joanna Garrity. Wearing a face covering isn't about protecting yourself, it's about protecting those around you. The airline has already started requiring flight crew members to wear face coverings. Listen, man, I believe that's the way it should go. I believe that the airlines, they can't sell as many seats, kind of like the restaurants. You know, if the restaurants have to maintain social distancing, why don't the airlines? You're even packed in closer.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, we all know airlines are trying to make every dollar they can and could care less. But just out of curiosity, does Florida have a mandatory mask law? Or at the time?
No, Florida barely has any law. They're like, hey, just don't make out with that COVID-19 patient in public.
Right. It's not funny. And the CDC, that's a CDC guideline on cleaning the aircraft. I'm surprised the FAA hasn't ruled that anybody on a flight should be wearing a mask.
Well, I think JetBlue's maybe that's a good point, but JetBlue's doing doing the right thing. I was glad to read that today. And you know what? Don't come at me with your clean and you're worried about our safety, and then you cancel a flight and cram everybody onto one flight where it would have been two flights. I know you're losing money on this shit, but hey, not my problem. Your job is, don't be sending out emails about how we take our safety seriously and the next hand want money from the taxpayers and fuck us both ways coming and going.
Right. Yeah. Like we have a choice.
Yeah, plus the plane is a flying Petri dish, so, you know.
They always have been, but this is, like, doubly scary.
Well, I knew this was BS when I flew home from my last trip. I was flying out of Louisville home, and they were talking, and this was when COVID-19 was in full effect, and they were talking about how clean things were, and I talked about in the air. I touched my seatbelt, put on my seatbelt, and it was, like, pink sticky stuff, and the plane was parked overnight. You had plenty of time to clean this plane. The airlines are full of shit.
Of course they're full of shit. Everybody knows they are. The Great American got called out on this, you know? I mean,
well, we've done... Sorry.
No, you go.
Well, we've done stories where people have opened up the little cozy blanket that was in plastic from the airline, and there was poop in it.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. The bathroom was busy. What'd you want me to do? It was occupado.
Yeah, I know. So it's like the airlines are full of shit. Their blankets are full of shit. They're not really cleaning. I mean, that's just a lot of lip service.
I didn't realize I was interrupting a joke. I'm sorry.
Just knowing it, I mean, when a plane lands, I mean, that plane has to be. And I'm calling them out on bullshit. I'm not defending them. But the plane lands, the plane's got to be turned around and cleaned as quickly as possible.
Well, yeah, but that's why they need to stagger these flights more, because with the new rules.
I am not defending them. I'm just saying how the window got broke. And let me finish. What I'm saying is, so the fact that they say, well, we make the planes as clean as, you know, they're clean. Bullshit, they're clean. You run the crew in there, they run the vacuum cleaner, they refluff the fucking blankets, and it's time to get back in the air again. So, yeah. You know, they're full of shit. That plane ain't earning unless it's in the air, you know. So for them to turn, we take every step possible. Bullshit.
This bailout is ridiculous because we're not making them do anything. That's why I have a real problem with the airlines with the bailout. Enough with the bailing out of the airlines. Jesus Christ. All right.
Well, the thing is that whenever we bail out an industry, we really don't follow up on any kind of, you know, all right, well, here's the money, but you've got to do this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, it's a problem.
They never follow through with doing the right thing.
No, Obama didn't go heavy on the banks. Trump doesn't go heavy on the airlines. Although I think Obama did do something with the fuel economy with the bailout.
But the banks are still doing their terrible thing.
Yeah, they are.
So, yeah, no, he did not follow through enough for my liking.
All right. Celebrities spread bad info, except this one. Celebrities are super spreaders. You should see them on a subway. Of fake news and conspiracy theories during times of crisis, including the coronavirus pandemic, experts say. Researchers from Queensland University in Australia blame stars such as Woody Harrelson and Wiz Khalifa, two Mensa people if there ever were any, in a study probing how far-fetched fringe internet theories become front-page news. These are super spreaders. These are the people who are really making something go viral. Axel Burns, professor from the school's technology digital media research center, said in an online presentation, big mouth celebs can even fuel misinformation just by discussing a bonkers theory without pushing it on social media. It's one thing to post this from a conspiracy account that's got a few hundred followers, but once you get major celebrities who literally millions of followers on Twitter or Facebook talking about this, even just dismissively, obviously it reaches a much larger audience. Researchers found that spikes in the circulation of COVID-19-related misinformation online were almost always linked to celebrity or media endorsements. In one example, they examined the recent fake news that 5G cell phone towers spread the coronavirus and found that most shares about it happened after the Hunger Games actor Woody Harrelson promoted the conspiracy theory on Instagram and rapper Wiz Khalifa spoke about it on Facebook video. In a now-deleted Instagram post, Harrelson, 58, you're too old for this shit, told his more than 2 million followers that he found a report about the negative effects of 5G and its supposed to role in the coronavirus pandemic very interesting. Circulation of the dangerous theory also increased after UK tabloid The Daily Express wrote an article about it and when a UK boxer posted a video on the subject to a sports group with almost 26 million members, according to the study. Now the public, genuinely confused and genuinely divided, they're pointing fingers at China and at each other.
Jen.
What?
China.
He laughed.
said another researcher, Timothy Graham. This is payday for disinformers. This is the best thing that could happen to them, and the worst thing could happen for democracy. You know, I'm not really surprised that these celebrities post this type of crap, and I'm not really surprised that people follow it and believe it, because I think that just shows how much we value in American society fame and celebrity over intelligence and book learning.
Yes. Oh, of course. You got a lot of celebrities on it. I mean, look, you look at Madonna in the bathtub with rose petals, or, you know, bathtub of milk with rose petals, you know, and, you know, she's out of her mind, you know, and other celebrities. But the whole thing is that they are entitled to their opinion. Let's take the case with Woody Harrelson, okay? The whole thing with the negative effects of 5G and its connection to the coronavirus pandemic. When it was discovered, it was, you know, it's like, you know, I'll take a look at it, you know. You could either say that's horseshit, or you could go, there's something to it. I mean, you know, to run out into the street and go, oh, my God, 5G is killing us. I mean, you know, you can listen to a story like that. You know, you could go, maybe so, but it's probably bullshit, you know?
Yeah, but people aren't that discerning, because they really get invested with these celebrities.
Well, if they're that stupid, fuck them, you know?
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that are that stupid, as we'll discuss.
So what, we have to curtail our freedom of speech because people are stupid?
Well, no, but with a platform comes responsibility. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, but if you're just saying, if you're just commenting on it's this whole thing with the 5G and the coronavirus, kind of seems kind of ironic. You know, it's like, yeah, all right, you know, maybe it is, maybe it's not, maybe it's nonsense. You just say it, you know? I mean, it's not like you're going, well, we got to look into this, and we need to rally and fight. You know, there's a difference between giving your opinion on something. Well, there might be something to this.
Yeah, but there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. There never was anything to it.
Yeah, so you're just saying, you know, there might be something to it. But you know what? That's your decision to make. And that's his right of freedom of speech, and that's your decision.
Nobody said he doesn't have the freedom of speech. Nobody said, you know, they're going to throw him in jail for it. It's a comment on society.
But it's something that you know, like I said, this whole thing, it just, look, obviously you're horseshit, but just at the time, it just seemed ironic where these five, you know, so if you're going to, you know, give out your theory on it, that's your theory on it. You know, you could be right or wrong, but you have the right to say it, and people have the right to believe it or not.
Yeah, nobody said they don't have the right. We're just commenting how stupid people are, and stop listening to celebrities, that's all. Yeah. No, nobody said lock up Wiz Khalifa and Woody Harrelson. They just said, look at them. Why do you hold them up in esteem? They're not that bright.
Well, cage match.
All right. Now it's cage match time.
Yeah.
Great debates of absurdity. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the theme song. Then I'm going to play the audio of President Trump. By the way, the link on the video I gave you is fucking amazing because it just focuses in on Dr. Deborah Birx. I had not seen that before, that article. That is tremendous. If you ever want to see a woman who looks like she wants to fucking dig a hole immediately, look at Deborah Birx as Donald Trump goes on about this. But anyway.
Oh, God.
You guys saw the video, of course, right?
So
I will play the audio from that. I'll give what I think really happened, and then we will have Dr. Pip Trump versus Dr. Joe Trump in this great debate.
Our country has seen great debates in history. Lincoln Douglas, 1858. Nixon Kennedy, 1960. Bush Clinton and Perot in 1992. But that all stops now. Welcome to Davin's Den's Great Debates in Absurdity.
With a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light. And I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that too. Sounds interesting. Right, and then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside, or almost a cleaning, because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number of the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me. So we'll see. But the whole concept of the light, the way it kills it in 1 minute, that's pretty powerful.
All right. So that was President Trump during a press conference last week. So let me explain to people what happened. So he's given this press conference, and so he says this stuff, and he didn't tell anybody to do it. He wasn't saying inject yourself with disinfectant. But Donald Trump thinks he has a very big brain. He told us as much during that press conference, during the March 6th thing at the CDC, where he told everybody they could get a test. He told us all what a good brain he has for this, and how scientists and doctors are so impressed that he knows all this stuff about viruses, and that his uncle John Trump was a brilliant professor at the MIT. So Donald Trump thinks he's really, really good at this shit. That's what he really believes. Nobody else thinks that, but that's what Donald Trump thinks. So he says these things. Again, he didn't tell anybody to inject themselves with disinfectant. He never told anybody to do that. He was just musing that perhaps it could work. But what was interesting was, so after this, there's a huge uproar, and then you get all the Trumpsters, not all the Trumpsters, but then you get a good amount of Trumpsters who, for the first time ever, used Google, and they found all these, like some alternative research, like some alternative medical treatments that really have been proven not to work, but they use ultraviolet lights and this, that, the other thing. So they use all these things that Donald Trump was really talking about this. They're saying Donald Trump was talking about these little-known medical procedures, the same guy that stared directly into the sun during a solar eclipse. That guy. The same guy that asked, hey, why can't we shoot a nuclear bomb into a hurricane? That guy. They theorized, knew these alternative medical treatments. To which case, a few hours later, Donald Trump said, nay, nay, I was being sarcastic. And I was being sarcastic, and he's talking to a reporter in the Oval Office. I was talking to you. And the reporter says, Mr. President, I wasn't there yesterday. And we have video of President Trump talking directly to his scientists and talking directly to Dr. Birx. He was not. We have video of this shit. So he's lying, and we've also learned that sarcasm is another word that Donald Trump does not know the meaning of, because he was not being sarcastic. As a matter of fact, he put out some tweets on a Saturday that he deleted and said, oh, I was being sarcastic. But again, he wasn't being sarcastic. I'm being sarcastic. Go, you know, Donald Trump's the smartest guy I know. That's fucking sarcastic.
Here's the thing, and you got to let me finish on this, okay?
Well, we'll see.
No, you got to let me finish on this, okay? Basically, you know, he talks, off of his head, and apparently there was this medical procedure of how they're treating it, where there was a disinfectant. He never said, you're right, where he never said that. Where he screwed up is where he said, well, he was goofing around, and he was talking serious. It boggles my mind on this one. And look, we just had a fight an hour ago just defending on a policy. I can't understand why he wouldn't just go, look, I was talking off the top of my head. I was just bouncing ideas around. There was this procedure where they did, in cases, a certain procedure can be used as a disinfectant, not Lysol. But when you turn around and go, I was just kidding around. No, you weren't. Everybody knows you weren't. You know, there were sometimes you just roll your eyes and go, why would there was another way to do damage control on this, and he took the total wrong way to go.
Well, you know, Joe, I've often said a press conference is a great time to spitball, much like in the middle of the early show Saturday is a good time for me and you to workshop shit to each other in the middle of the fucking show. Nay, nay! There's a time and a place! Listen, if he wants to have that conversation with the scientists and the doctors behind closed doors because he doesn't know, First of all, we all know disinfectants are not good to be injected. But if he wants to have that conversation because he doesn't know, because Mama Trump never fucking told him and didn't tell him don't drink the stuff under the sink, fine. Have that conversation. Just don't do it in the middle of a press conference when everybody's looking and wants information.
Look, if he did what he did, and he didn't mean, using, putting Clorox on something, then just backtrack and say that. Don't go, and I can't believe anybody behind that door, when he said, that's what I'm going to do. And really, somebody said, yeah, do that. If I was Kellyanne Conway, I would tell her, no, you're going to go out, and you're going to explain that there are procedures where it can be used, that they say it acts like a disinfectant. Go out and say, and that's what you're saying.
But he didn't know that, Joe. He doesn't know about that. The guy before him was just talking about how disinfectants and light kill it on surfaces, inanimate objects, not on fucking people. Most of us know, hey, if I want to clean my floor, I can use disinfectant. If I want to clean my insides, I'm going to need an enema. We know the difference.
But what I'm saying is that you could take that with a grain of salt that he meant that procedure. He did not handle it well, because we could debate. He could have said that. We could debate till the cows come home on what he meant, what he did, and what. But for him to say I was just kidding around, you're full of shit.
Somebody record this. Holy shit! Wait, we are. How fortunate.
I support Trump and support. And like I said, and I've said this since I've been on this show, I take things issue by issue. You're full of shit.
It's so. That's why he's got. But this is just another day in his present. This is why he's failing. One of the reasons, because he doesn't have the capability to go, all right, I screwed up. That was. I was asking. Perhaps he doesn't have that gear.
What the big problem is with him right now, and he can't do rallies. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to go. He's trying to get rally points in during a presidential press conference.
Yeah, but here's the difference. You're right. But here's the difference. At the rallies, everybody adores him, and he can say whatever he wants. At these press conferences, we're not tuning in because we adore him. We're tuning in because we're trying to learn shit.
You're right. And believe me, if I watch the press conference and he starts going in, well, the former administration, or I've done grammar, and I'll sit there and go, you're not at a fucking rally. Just get to the fucking point. Bring up, you're not at a rally. And it's amazing that people around him are not going, you're not at a fucking rally. Go up there, speak, bring Pence on, bring Fauci on. And then go behind the door.
Well, you know what? Enough with Mike Pence. I've cut Mike Pence a lot of slack. You go to the fucking Mayo Clinic and you're the only one not wearing a mask. Come on, dude. I mean,
that's an asshole move. How could you tell everybody you got to be on guard with a mask and then go to the Mayo Clinic and not wear a mask?
You want another asshole move? I'll give you another asshole move. So Donald Trump wants to speak at the at the West Point commencement, the graduation. Here's the thing. There's nobody there anymore. So all these cadets have to fly back, have to be quarantined for 14 days, and have to be tested. So it's a great pain in the ass for everybody and dangerous because Donald Trump wants to speak. It's another fucking asshole move, man. I mean, it's just...
It could work against him, yeah, because he wants to... There's no rally.
So right, but that's what I'm saying, though.
I'm not agreeing with it. So don't.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not. But this is why I'm saying, though. This is why I'm saying. You say he's going to win in a landslide, and that's why I'm going, I don't think so, because we're all watching this shit now, and it gets worse every day. I said like a month ago. I said on the April Fool's show, I really want him to succeed. I really want him to get better at this. A month later, he's not doing it, and everybody's watching to the point where, every show you have to go to me, yeah, you're right about that. That tells you something.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, it's frustrating the shit out of him that he can't do his rally, that the economy, and he needs to make the press conferences a lot less about him.
It's not going to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
Then it's his to lose. You know?
And here's the funny thing. People say, where's Joe Biden? Fucking hide Joe Biden. The best thing that could happen to Joe Biden is Donald Trump's press conferences every day. That's the best thing that can happen. Because people are going to go, well, it's not that guy. Kind of like a lot of people went, well, it's not Hillary. Hi, Joe Biden. This is working out fine.
Well, you know, it's if we start to steer out of this towards, July or August, and we get everything on the rebound, you know, it's almost like a situation where your dishwasher breaks. My dishwasher's broken, and I can't take it anymore. I'm calling out the guy, blah, blah, blah. Or when the cable goes out, you know, I've got to fuck these guys, blah, blah, blah. I've had it. I'll never use cable vision again. Fuck that. And then the cable gets fixed, and your shows come up. Okay. You know, so it's kind of the nature of that, and that's what remains to be seen. Right now, the way things are going, you're looking at them and going, look, things got to get back to normal. You got to shut your mouth during the press conference. If everything gets back to normal, the economy is getting better, people are back to work by election day, they go, nah, we don't want Joe Biden, you know, if he's still there.
Here's how you know, here's how powerful you know President Trump is. Republican governors reported that calls about ingesting Clorox and Lysol and all that shit were like in the hundreds, like increased like several hundreds over the fucking weekend. That's how tuned in. Listen, man, I could say the same thing to you about Mexico building a wall. I mean, we had that argument, and I told you that's never happening, and you thought I was an asshole. He says a lot of things that most people go, well, that's just not going to happen. So I get it. I mean, listen, people listen to celebrities. He's the biggest fucking celebrity. Yeah, I agree. If you're that stupid, drink it, but you can't say it. He's got a platform. He's got to be better than that.
That's up to him, you know. Well, like I said, I can't argue about how the way he went through this situation. My opinion in the way he's going about the press conferences is that it's not a rally, and it boggles my mind. Let's discuss Pence.
Yes.
To that. Now,
yes.
Here's the deal. You got to make up your mind. If you're wearing a mask. And hear me out on this. If you're wearing a mask, does it look like it's weakness that you're not second in command? Or by not wearing the mask, you look like you have such disregard for the safety of people and what you're trying to preach to the country? I don't know who makes that decision. I don't know that debate. I do believe that conversation was had. And I don't understand where you would say, well, it might look like a point of weakness compared to a point of very bad.
It's not a point of weakness.
Right,
I mean,
assessment?
He's up there every day with the guidelines and this, that, the other thing. You know, these guys have to lead by example. He was told before he walked in there what the rules of the Mayo Clinic are. There is no good way to spin it where he does not wear a mask. If he wore a mask, it looked like he was doing what he's telling everybody else to do for his safety and everybody else's safety. You go into a hospital and you don't wear a mask? Every other doctor, every patient, everybody's wearing a mask. They all want to meet the vice president. He walks in there, he's talking without a mask. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I think what they were worried about was the whole Dukakis and the tank incident, which is compared to the bad optic of going into the Mayo Clinic and refusing to wear a mask. You know, it's like, well, I don't want to look weak, but you're looking like, you know, it's a very bad optic, and it surprises me that they don't have the common sense to see that.
Oh, I'm not surprised. You do understand what Kellyanne Conway said on Fox News a couple of weeks ago. We went over this, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, yeah. Real quick, Kellyanne Conway is waxing poetic. The advisor to the president, well, we're on COVID-19. It's not like we haven't had 18 of these before. You dumb bitch, you. There's nobody there, Joe. There's nobody there. You know what? It's open mic night. That's what's going on in the White House right now. It is open mic night.
He's workshopping at the podium.
He is workshopping. So as a performer, I respect it. But
he was. But, you know, like I said, a guy like that likes to talk off the top of his head. You know,
yeah, you know what? And here's the problem. There's not much there. Look at the notes. All right.
You know what?
Go, what? Quick.
That's the difference between what we were talking about before. Woody Harrelson, Wiz Khalifa, we expect them to be idiots. But we don't expect our president to be one.
Well, I do now. I do now.
Like I said, the handle. He was talking off the top of his head. at the press conference, and he was giving a reason where it could be a disinfectant. Not like,
you know what I would do, Joe?
Like,
you know what I would do when I'm talking to Seinfeld. When I'm talking to Seinfeld and Chris Rock, I often feel it's appropriate for me to give them suggestions. Stay in your lane, motherfucker. You're not a doctor or a scientist. Stay in your lane.
If you're hanging out with them and you're going, you know, there's a couple of ideas that they had, a comedy, which is good, but, and if it was taken the wrong way, you go out the next day and go, look, from my experience or what I've heard, this is how I felt, and it could be used in this way. You don't go out and go, no, I was just kidding around. You weren't fucking kidding around.
No, he was not.
Right. You could have taken a different route out of that, and instead you didn't. And it was such a common sense decision to make. Pence should have put the fucking mask on. It's such a common sense decision to make, but there might have been a handler. Well, you don't want the Dukakis in the tank moment. Yeah, but I also want to look like I'm telling people to wear a mask. I should be in a hospital that's telling me to wear a mask. You know, it's not a sense of weakness. It's a sense of joining. So, yeah, you know, I mean, there have been some big faux pas in the past week in the administration. I have absolutely, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, no.
Here's what I did. I could have put Joe on the defensive to defend this shit, but I said, I'm not going to do that. That's too easy.
Right.
I'm going to put them both on the defensive to fucking defend this shit. So that's why we're having a great debate of absurdity. So Dr. Pip Trump will argue that shining your inner light is the best way to beat COVID-19. And Dr. Joe Trump will argue that injecting disinfectant is the best way to do COVID-19. They will both try their best to channel their inner President Trump, hopefully giving us some sort of a voice and mannerisms. And I expect some very serious and educational results from this. So away we go. I do. Dr. Pip Trump, why is inner light the best way to beat COVID-19?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody here for coming to my conference. There were some men that were very impressed with my perfect brain, and they said, sir, we have listened to you talk at length about COVID and Carbona and Carbona, and all of it is really, really hugely important, and we found out that you have the best ideas, because this thing, you know, this thing, this bad thing that came from China, is here, and we have to do things for it. And the best men, I have the best people on this, the best men said that a light inside your body would be the best thing. And we've talked, the best minds have talked about this thing, the light inside. And one of the ways that we can get the light inside is they have these tiny, tiny little cameras, little tiny ones, and you can put them on a string, and you can put them inside a person, and a flashbulb goes off. A couple of flashbulbs go off, and they shoot it right at the Carbona, and it disappears. It wipes it out, and the best people are on this, and they said that is what works, and they have these little violet flash bulbs. It's violet light that flashes at the Carbona and knocks it right out of the body. It's fabulous. It's fantastic, and that's my new plan.
Wow. Well, thank you, Dr. Pip Trump. I feel much stupider for hearing that. Dr. Joe Trump, why is injecting disinfectant the best way to beat COVID-19?
Well, first of all, Dr. Pip Trump, it's fake news. Doesn't even sound like Trump. Sounds like Bull Weasel the Moose. I guess you're going to say Moose and Squirrel, but that's all fake news, fake news. I bigly want to use Clorox as the best way. It's good. It works. very classy way. Terrific. The best people. The best people. Matter of fact, I want to have Anthony Fauci come up and talk about it. We like using Clorox. It's very good. Okay, that's enough. Back to me. The Clorox goes in the vein. It goes down the vein, sort of heading down, and then takes care of the the virus, knocks it out, the coronavirus. And, you know, Kim Jong-un has been sick, and I've sent Clorox over to them, and we feel that that's going to work on that. Because, so, you know, it'll clean out your veins. It works well. Also, Swifters. We're going to use Swifters. Swifters are terrific. Terrific people make Swifters. And what they're going to do is we're going to swift the vein. You go in there, and you just take out the mop. You don't need the mop. You just take out the Swifter cloth, and you throw it out. Disposable people. It's going to work out good. It's going to work out fantastic. We have the best people working on that. It's going to be good. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But we know we could do it. We know we could do it. Let me, Mike, why don't you come up? Well, thank you, Mr. President. What I want, okay, Mike, that's enough. Nick, I want Tide Pods. Tide Pods are a delicious snack. They also work without injecting them. You can have them with a snack. You can have them around. I like to have them after a Big Mac. They taste delicious. So there you go. Now, also, the veins get a little clogged up, and you use Pledge. You put Pledge on the vein, and it cleans up very nice. Very good people are working on that. Very good people on that. Now, the previous administration, they left us no Pledge. They left us no Pledge. I tried to get the most Pledge that we can. I pledged to get Pledge. That's why, you know, and if anybody questions me, I was just Josh. But Pledge, that's why we need Pledge.
Wow. Okay. Dr. Piptro. I can't say it's worse than the real thing. Dr. Pip Trump, why hasn't the rest of the medical community embraced Inner Light? Dr. Joe Trump, it's not your turn. It's not your turn, Dr. Okay. Joe Trump. Wait your turn.
Okay.
Dr. Pip Trump, why hasn't the rest of the medical community embraced Inner Light?
Dr. Joe Trump, you sit down. I don't want to hear your bad questions. You're talking over me. It's my turn now. You sit down. Be quiet. Now, what did you ask me?
All right. I would really appreciate if you two could focus, if you two Trumps could focus a little more. Dr. Pip Trump, for the third time, why hasn't the medical community embraced Inner Light?
That's fake news, because the medical community, I have the best minds, the best people working on this with very powerful, strong ideas, and they have been talking about this amongst themselves and with me and with Mike Pence and Dr. Burks. Haven't they been talking to Dr. Burks? Haven't they been talking to you, Dr. Okay. They've been talking about these ideas, and they've even come up with other ones. Like, for example, for a long time, office workers have been working on this cure, and they didn't even realize they were working on it because they knew somehow, they used instinct, they knew that when you sit on a photocopier and the light gets up into your butt, that it cleans it right out.
Okay.
Gets rid of the infection.
Okay.
And so,
all right, Dr. Pip Trump. We got it. Thank you.
All right.
Dr. Joe Trump, why hasn't the medical community embraced the disinfectant injections?
That's where it's been in the New York Times, Daily New York Times, CNN, all the fake news channels. That's why they're not, because they're saying that it's going to work, but it's proven that the disinfectant will be the better way to go. It's a liquid. It works better than a light. What if you run out of electricity? You can always use Pledge. Pledge, ladies and gentlemen, Pledge. No matter how much electricity you have, you could use that. Also, Mr. Clean looks good. It works in, basically... It works
okay, we get it. We don't need to go under everything that's under the sink. We get it. Dr. Joe Trump. They say he kills the virus. Should we light people on fire to kill the virus?
No, don't light people on fire. Don't leave them up. But feed them plenty of disinfectant. Plenty of disinfectant. Fire burns. Burns. I've heard it burns.
Okay.
Many people have said that. We're going to have to look into it. We'll be looking into if people burn. Mike, why don't you come up? Well, Mr. President, Mike, that's enough.
All right. Thank you. Dr. Pip Trump, same question to you.
Well, you see, we've already done studies where we set some people on flame, and they turned out bad. That was not the way to go. There were some people like Schumer, and they said that we should use the flame, and they were wrong. And I think that it's just when you move your finger back and forth through a flame.
Okay. Okay, Dr. Pip. Look, Dr. Pip Trump squirrel. Okay. Okay. Listen. Dr. Pimp, excuse me. There's a porn store out there. Go look. Dr. Joe Trump, which scent of disinfectant is most effective in killing COVID-19?
Would be Clorox.
That's not a scent. That's a brand.
What's the question again?
It smells like Clorox.
That's cum. Dr. Joe Trump, which scent of disinfectant is most effective in killing COVID-19?
Oh, it would be lemon scent. Lemon. COVID-19 does not like lemons.
Okay.
I read up on this. Lemons are not good, so it would be lemon scented.
Dr. Pip Trump, what type of light and what wattage do you recommend to beat COVID-19?
It has to be a very bright light. Very bright, like the one that, we know that Senator McCain looked at right before the traitor left. But it has to be a very bright light. Brightness, like not the most powerful brightness there is.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the problem with that, because with that, all that brightness, you go blind. Blind, ladies. Blind. Everybody, you get a brightness, you go blind.
Like looking into a solar eclipse.
But I know personally, you go blind. Worse than the eclipse. Very dangerous. Dangerous.
That was very bright.
You get tough.
Tough people out there. Okay. Thank you. Dr. Pip Trump, what does the plug for the light go into? The mouth, the belly button, or the ass?
Well, the plug, some of the best people have told me that you never put anything in your ass and then go to your mouth. I learned that from Stormy, and not that I know that woman, but I've heard of it, and you never go ass to mouth. Like, so it's the belly button. That's the place to plug it in.
Ass to mouth is like crossing the black wire with the red wire. Okay, good to know.
Something like that. Yes, electricians have been consulted and complicated on the subject, and not that.
Dr. Joe Trump, tell us why Dr. Pip is wrong and why she is so dumb.
Well, first of all, she's a moose from the cartoons. I've seen her work. Very not very good. Not good. Not good. Not good. She's stupid. Not classy. Out of control. Basically, the best way is to going with the Clorox cleaner. But clean the light. The light. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. And we got to be careful. She's part of the deep state as well. And what she says is fake news.
Dr. Pip Trump, tell us why Dr. Joe Trump is wrong and why he is so dumb.
Dr. Joe Trump, although he has an excellent last name, is a stupid first name. That's not a name I would pick. It's not a name that would look good in gold on the side of a building. So I think that Dr. Joe Trump is a is not a powerful big brain like the other experts that I've been consulting, talking with, and he is fake news, fake news.
Wow.
Even if I sound like a moose, fake news.
Well, thank you both for killing 50% of the brain cells in my head. I don't know how you're going to do against COVID-19, but you're going to kill intelligence. I appreciate that, both of you. Thank you so much.
You're going to make your brain cells great again. Don't worry.
We can hope. Thank you. Thank you. And there you have it. Great debate of absurdity. I don't think we learned a fucking thing.
There you go.
Wow.
Trump accent.
I thought it was the best accent. People saying Dr. Pip Trump, very good, very funny. Office slut, very funny. I had Dr. Pip Trump before she was an office slut. She was an office prude. I fucked her inside, outside, sideways, with light, Cloroxed her insides and outsides, made her smell lemony fresh. Now she's an office slut. I'm going to make Pip's vagina great again. Thank you. And that's how you do with Donald Trump.
Oh, thank you.
That was very well done, kids. That made me think of Arabs on the Arts. That's what that did.
Not that bad.
Are we gonna go back and try to do the fucking thing three more times?
Nope.
Will we get the point?
Nope. That was enough. Thank you. Thank you both. For that very long-winded, nonsensical diatribe. Much like a real press conference, to be honest with you. Much like the real press conferences. Yeah, I mean, the problem with the bit was it was so, like, lifelike, there was no humor in it. I'm like, wow, if I close my eyes, I'm watching CNN.
Yeah, a little scary.
It really was. And with Joe with the voices, yeah, I mean, we've known he's had voices. We just didn't know which ones. Now we know.
Now we know.
All right. Let's go a little bit more sane and do some bitches be crazy.
Can I just say something? It's funny when it's like when either Pence is speaking or Fauci speaking. Trump is like an MC running a mic with 25 comics, and they're all going over.
Well, because like most mics, he thinks he's the best one on the show. He's cutting everybody else's time so he could do a few more minutes. Well, that's why. Like he thinks the ratings, because he's always bragging about the ratings, are about him. And we just can't get enough of Donald Trump talking. That's why we're tuning in. The fucking insanity that we are. All right. We'll quickly do some other insanity, some bitches be crazy, then we'll take a break. Yeah.
Bitches be crazy, yeah. Bitches be crazy, yeah. Bitches be crazy, yeah. Bitches be crazy, yeah. Bitches be crazy, yeah. Bitches be crazy, yeah. Bitches be crazy, yeah. Bitches be crazy, yeah. Bitches be crazy,
yeah. All right, Pip, what do you got?
Weeks ago, but it is bitches be crazy. This one, and this is a double. This is a double, a daily double, because this is a Florida woman.
Yay!
Put 400 Easter eggs filled with porn in mailboxes.
Yes.
Say, and here's why. April Sestoni was upset at churches, Flagler County deputies say. Multiple Flagler County residents recently found little plastic Easter eggs placed inside their mailboxes, but instead of being filled with treats, the eggs were hiding pornographic images and fish-shaped crackers. Authorities say a 42-year-old Florida woman is responsible. Jail records show Avril Sestoni, 42, was arrested early Thursday after deputies received tips that a woman was going around a restaurant placing the pornographic eggs in mailboxes. deputies say that based on tips they received and a home surveillance video, they were able to conduct a traffic stop on Sestoni, who later admitted to making the porn on a computer program. Deputies say they determined Sestoni worked at a Publix grocery store nearby and would deliver the eggs after her shift ended. How nice. Jail records show April Sestoni, 42, was arrested early Thursday after deputies received tips that a woman was going around her neighborhood placing the pornographic eggs in mailboxes. Deputies say that based on the tips they received and the home surveillance video, they were able to... Oh, wait a minute, that's twice. She said she wanted to educate people on the need for churches and pastors to give money to less fortunate. April said that she was a church and had a business license. Abril said she was conducting research on local clergy and people deserve to know the truth, the arrest report read. She certainly had a bizarre, almost zealous opinion of churches and what they should believe in and how they should teach the teachings of the Bible, Sheriff Rick Stolle said. Body camera video shows that she is not a fanatic. She said that, but that's okay. According to records, Sestoni delivered 400 of the pornography-filled eggs in total since Monday. Our team did a great job in tracking this deranged offender down and taking her into custody. Thankfully, she did not appear to be sick with COVID-19 symptoms, but she certainly needs some help, you think? This, again, proves that see something, say something works. And we thank the community for being part of our guardianship policing philosophy. In each case, residents reported noticing that the flag on the mailbox was up, and when they went to check why, they found the egg, which contained a fish-shaped cracker, a sheet of toilet paper, a powdered drink mix, and crumbled-up pornographic image. In my career, it's a pretty bizarre case. Sestoni's being charged with violating the statewide stay-at-home order issued by Governor Ron DeSantis, well, back then, and at least 11 counts of distributing obscene material. She's being held on $7,000 bond, according to the Flagler County Jail. Now, here's the thing. Normally, I would say that this bitch be crazy, but I think this article is completely unfair. I happen to agree with this woman. There's no reason why we should... There's no reason why we should not be incorporating porn into our Easter celebration.
I agree.
You know what? I keep thinking of Ron Jeremy dressed as the Easter Bunny handing out porn, but he can't hop because he keeps tripping over his cock.
That's not a tale. Easter first started out as a celebration of the spring equinox, a time when all of nature is awakened from the slumber of winter and the cycle of renewal begins. And Anglo-Saxon pagans celebrated this time of rebirth by invoking Eastri, or Astara, the goddess of spring, the dawn, and fertility. Fertility. What stirs the loins towards procreation more than porn inside eggs? Easter vibrators, specifically the rabbit. Now we're having some Easter fun. Pastel color vibrators. That's what we should be putting inside these mailboxes.
Well, it makes sense.
Also boxes too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a nod.
That makes sense, though. I mean, because he is risen. How do you think he risen? Vibrators and boxes.
And looking at porn.
Sure.
So I think that she, in her own demented way, was on the right track.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the story of Easter makes sense because he died, and then 3 days later he came. So, you know.
He is risen.
I mean, sure, listen, you're hanging there. The wind's blowing against your loincloth. You're going to get hard. It's going to happen. I get it.
Man.
Well, see that's the thing. I think the Easter grass was fine for the 70s, but not in this day and age. You really have to go without grass on your basket.
Yeah. You just get right to the candy. Is that your theory?
Yeah, I want to get right into your Cadbury eggs.
Yeah, right.
See, but you guys are on board. See, you understand me.
Yes.
I'm saying that in her own way, maybe she couldn't articulate it, but in her own way, the porn was leading towards fertility. It's more Easter than the little beans.
I don't understand how she was making porn on her computer, though. I didn't understand that.
The same way that you you were making masks on yours. Where there's a will, there's a way.
No. No. I can't create people fucking with a 3D printer.
It's only a matter of time.
No.
Think about it was, think about this. It was a project. It was a, she had a plan, she had a joke. Let me get out, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I mean, you know, I'm creating that. You actually have to, like, make a little assembly line and deal with crazy shit.
You know, like you see people in little hired rooms making fake IDs and clipping little tiny pieces of plastic and putting them together. She's like, okay, let me get this tiny, tiny little penis right there. Okay, perfect. Now, let me get...
Hey, get out of my bedroom, woman.
Sorry, I said tiny penis. I'm so sorry.
Yes, yes.
She's got to do it as an assembly line and stuff like that. Plan it out.
Yeah.
Everything else.
You know what my question is? My question is, where'd this bitch get all that toilet paper?
I know. Good point. Yeah. Well, now we know who hoarded it.
Yes. Yeah. All right. And, you know, and she had goldfish crackers, which are nice. Kids love goldfish. Little something for the kids.
Well, you know what? That's part of her whole, you know, the fish is the symbol of Jesus. And so somehow she had some kind of crazy logic in there.
See? Yeah, why the hell does our Lord and Savior have to be bait? I never got that.
I don't know.
Makes no sense.
No, not at all.
He's the Son of God. Just don't put him on land; he'll suffocate. It makes no fucking sense.
Flapping around, you know.
You know what would make the Son of God better? Tartar sauce. It makes no sense.
You have to debone him. Humiliating.
Yeah, I mean, really, out of all the things, he's the Son of God. No, he's a fishy. What?
Lord, if you're looking down, I did not laugh at the tartar sauce joke. I don't even. I know, and you know, you're not even gonna get that far down the list, but not for nothing.
the tartar sauce was your break. That was the one that broke your.
You know. I don't want to go through it. Well, you did this, you did that, you did that. All right. Well, tartar sauce joke back in 2020. Okay, well, you screwed up.
Here comes the lightning, Joe.
Yeah.
Everything was cool until they started making tartar sauce and filet jokes. That's it.
You shouldn't have laughed at stupid joke. That's where you made a mistake. All right.
that was your undoing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, the whole fish thing, they could have done better. Make him a lion.
I mean, you know what? I totally forget what the symbolism is, why it's a fish, but when you see fish on the back of people's cars, that's what they're trying to tell you.
When I see fish on the...
I think when they saw it, because, you know, it was like, teach a man to fish, he'll fish for a day, show him, you know, give a man a fish, or teach a man a fish. Jesus was very big on fish, especially when he had that, you know, when he had to feed all those people. And then he, you know, all that fish showed up. And then
yeah, you know what, though? He's not the Son of God. He's a fucking caterer. Big whoop.
Loaves and fishes.
Fishes and loaves for everybody. I have a fish allergy. Do you have anything vegetarian?
You're unchristian.
Excuse me. Do you have any gluten-free loaves, Mr. Jesus?
Well, you know, that's how the modern day our church of eternal no gluten came to be.
Yeah. Excuse me, Mr. Jesus, my filet has a bone. I almost choked on it.
I wish you did.
If there was any way, you would figure marching them through the desert would wear them down, but they just don't give a shit.
They keep talking.
Excuse me, my Mr. Jesus, my fish is cold. It's supposed to be. I don't care. You're getting 1 star on God Yelp.
God Yelp.
And you know what? And the funny thing is, Jesus is there going, I don't know if I'm the Son of God or a room manager after a Jackie Mason show. I don't know.
love of God, me. Sit down and shut up, Karen. I'll make you yelp.
Excuse me, Mr. Jesus. I asked for the mommy, but this seems like scrod.
Lady, you know I'm wearing a crown of thorns. Do you know those thorns are digging into my fucking scalp, but they feel so much better than that grainy fucking voice of yours?
Excuse me, Mr. Jesus, I am a paying customer. How dare you use that type of profanity towards me?
Do you understand they're going to nail me to the cross?
Yes, I recommended it after this meal.
And you know I'm going to help with the first nail, because that nail going through my hand is going to feel better than the nail going through my fucking head right now.
I don't think he's very good. You want to come back next week? Well, we have a coupon. All right.
Joe, you think the tartar sauce was your undoing? You just did that bit?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you're done.
I'll just tell him I'm a comic. I got caught up in a role. You know what you're going to do?
Yeah. And Jesus will go, Jesus, you're a comic? I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, right. And then he's going to send me to hell, where I have to host an open mic of 23,470,000 comics, and they all want to go up but last.
Okay.
Have to go to another gig, or the who brought their people, and how long's the gig? Forever. Longer than a city show? Not that long, but forever.
All right. I think we have milked that bit until it became powdered milk.
Boom.
Yes, let's take our final break, and it'll be a short break, and we'll come back and we'll do some scamming. Oh, I didn't cue up the music. What a fucking asshole. You have time to make fun of our Lord and Savior, but you don't have time to cue up the music?
God blessed you.
Sure, he brings you to me every week.
I was thinking that God was the worst booker ever, because he had to have a sense of humor to make all this stuff happen to us all in one year.
All right.
Oh, no, we're being punished. He saw us. Oh, yeah. Bored with locusts and floods and shit like that. Let me try this.
Yeah, sure.
It'll be fun.
All right. Come back. We'll do some scamming scammers with my lovely girlfriend, Lacey. 5 minutes. We will be back.
Stranger to me now, what happened? Have we lost our thread somehow, or could there still be a strand?